Today on The Journey.
A husband is responsible to sexually fulfill the needs of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife is responsible for fulfilling the sexual needs of her husband.
God designed you for sexual satisfaction. It's not something we often talk about in church circles, but it's essential to understand in our fight for purity. So today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin talk about it. In their scriptural and practical conversation, you'll discover the path to wholeness and holiness in the bedroom. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here are Ron and Tunch with a discussion titled, Under Attack, Sexual Satisfaction, on The Journey.
Joining me for this special series on men's issues is Tunch Ilkin, a former NFL player, a broadcaster for the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network, and a pastor of men's ministry here at the Bible Talk. Tunch, did you like that introduction?
I'm I'm speechless.
I've never seen you speechless. I thought that was well done myself.
I just thought I was so impressed. I would have thought I was some sort of a big shot if I didn't know the truth.
We're involved in a series of sermons called Engaging in the Bad.
Right.
You got me onto a book by Cliff Graham,
right.
A series of books,
yes,
about David and his mighty men.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading those books, and they're great books. It's a historical novel. By the way, if you haven't read those books, we encourage you to do that.
Oh, they're phenomenal. One of the best series of books I've ever read.
Really gets behind the conversations that may have gone on behind the scenes. And he used a source book called Military History of Ancient Israel, written by a guy named Dr. Richard Gabriel. And I love what Gabriel says, and it's really the basis for our series here. Gabriel says, from the beginning of military history, perhaps no element of warfare has been of greater importance to the conduct of battle than terrain, the ground that constitutes the tactical or strategic box within which armies have to fight. So we thought, okay, men have to engage in the battle. So let's talk about the different battlefields.
Yeah.
Well, Scripture lays that out for us. There's the world. The world comes at us in all different ways. The flesh coming from the inside.
Me.
And then the devil,
yeah,
who's going to shoot his fiery darts at us. And we got to be prepared for that. So we're looking at the flesh. We've looked at insecurity, how insecurity can cause us to run to places we don't want to run to.
Right.
We looked at lust, and certainly that causes us to run to places and do things we don't want to do. We talked about anger and how that can boil up inside of us and cause words to come out of our mouth that we don't want to come out. Reckless words pierced like a sword, the proverb says. Pride, that insidious sin that when you think you're being humble, you are becoming proud of your humility.
Yeah.
And then last time we talked about complacency.
Yes.
All of us, at some point in our life, we can look back and say, boy, there was a stretch of time where I really wasn't in the game like I should have been. Here's another one. We were at a men's retreat and stood up and said, look, we're doing this series on engaging in the battle. What are some of the battles that you face?
Mm-hmm.
And one guy wrote, sexual satisfaction in marriage. And this is a big one. Now, right off the bat, we are not experts.
No, we're not. No, this is not where my football, 14 years of NFL, you always go, you played 14 years in the NFL.
Tell me a story.
This is not where any of my experience comes in handy or my experience as a broadcaster.
We are not sexual therapists in any sense. We're not psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. We want to make that clear. What we want to do is look at Scripture and just give some encouragement, some advice from the time you've worked with men in men's ministry and the time that I've worked with men and women here at the Bible Chapel. So first of all, here's one thing we know. God brings a husband and a wife together, and there's satisfaction at a lot of different levels and in a lot of different areas, but certainly he desires men and women to be sexually satisfied.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the battle is three-pronged. It is the flesh, it is the world, and it is the devil. I mean, everything about our culture is showing a simple, loving marriage cannot be sexually satisfying. So it's hitting us on all three of these battlefields. You know, I'll never forget one of the most interesting interviews, Roger Staubach. They were comparing him to Joe Namath, and he said, "I like sex just as much as Joe Namath. I just like it with one woman, my wife." And I thought that was a great response. Roger Staubach being a Christian Hall of Fame quarterback, and of course, Broadway Joe and the nightlife and the women of New York City. And here was Roger Staubach saying, "I like it just as much as he does, but I like it with one woman, my wife."
Scripture has so much to talk about regarding sex, and we see through Scripture the downfall of so many. Solomon, the kingdom becomes split because Solomon's downfall was he loved foreign women, and his many wives and concubines led his heart astray. In Nehemiah 13, when Nehemiah goes back in to build the walls, he sees that some of the guys there have married foreign women, and they are starting to worship the pagan gods of these foreign women. And Nehemiah says, "What are you thinking about? Yeah. Don't you remember Solomon?" Yeah. And we see throughout Scripture the downfall of many. The Proverbs is full of warnings. Got to be careful. Yeah. Lust and pornography and adultery, it is a path to destruction.
"The fool follows the adulteress like the oxen to the slaughter."
Vivid picture.
Yeah, vivid picture. You're going to the slaughter.
Scripture is so practical. Listen to what Paul writes, inspired by God, regarding the husband-wife sexual relationship. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. "The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband." So there's a mutual responsibility the husband has to the wife and the wife to the husband. "The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband in the same way. The husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife." And so when you say, "I do," you're making an agreement. My body doesn't belong to me alone, but it also belongs to you. And I have a marital duty to fulfill you sexually. The next verse, this is verse 5. "Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent," so you both agree, "and then just for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. And then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So Paul's saying, men and women, you need to make sure that you fulfill your marital duty and have intimacy with each other so as to dull the temptation of trying to find satisfaction outside of the marriage.
And let's be real, it dulls it quite a bit. The reality of it is that having a fulfilling physical, intimate life at home does dull the desire outside of the home. That's one of the things I think that's really important for wives to understand about their husbands is the way they're wired. They are wired physically. Once again, I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy. I always get a little nervous when I'm talking like this.
I really didn't want to do this show.
I mean, that's truth. It's important that our wives know how we are wired as men. And on the flip side, I'm not absolving us from understanding how our wives are wired.
Right.
Would you get me out of this?
I had a professor say one time, sometimes for men and women, there's such a high expectation. We're always going to be disappointed. There's no way that we're always going to meet that level of expectation.
You know, you talk about the expectations and the way media, whether it's TV, whether it's radio, whether it's magazines, there is a portrayal of this fantasy, but it is fantasy. And here's the reality of it. In the end, you talk to any of those people that are living that fantasy life, it is empty and it is disappointing. And I've counseled men who have been in affairs or guys who are single and who have been promiscuous. In the end, it is always empty and there is no fulfillment to it. It leaves you in pain.
So we start on this basis regarding sexual fulfillment that a husband is responsible to sexually fulfill the needs of his wife. And the wife is responsible for fulfilling the sexual needs of her husband. That doesn't come from sex therapy. That's right here in the Word of God.
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul addresses it very clearly. we have to accept that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Sex can never be used as a weapon. I'm mad at you. You didn't do what I wanted, mm-hmm. husband or wife.
Right.
Therefore, I'm withholding sex from you to demonstrate my disapproval of the way you've been behaving or whatever.
Right.
And we know that sex is so powerful that sometimes that can happen. Normally, you jump right in there.
You're doing just great here. I'm learning.
So here we are recording, and when I look at you—
Look, when we did this one, I was— Yes, never use sex as a weapon.
Thank you. Thank you, Touch.
Yeah, I was just mesmerized the way you were putting this. I just thought it was so well done.
So let's talk to men specifically, because here's what a man will say.
Yeah.
I'm just not satisfied with my sexual relationship at home, and my wife doesn't meet my needs, blah, 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 blah. Well, one, that is absolutely not an excuse.
No.
For any sexual sin. I don't care what the situation is. You have made a commitment to your wife. You stood before God. You stood before people. And you have to be faithful to your spouse. At the same time, men can desire to get their physical need met from a woman, but not live life meeting the emotional desires of their wife. Now, I want to make sure that when we say this, we're not saying that women don't enjoy sex.
No.
But we're saying that men need to make sure they meet the emotional needs of their wife. And so, Tons, there are some basic things. Like,
yes.
One of the things we talk about a lot in our marriage enrichment class is the very things you did to win your wife, mm-hmm. to win her love, you quit doing right after you say, I do.
Yeah.
Basic things like date nights, just taking the time to be together, take a walk together, go get ice cream together. It doesn't have to be some fancy, expensive night, but just taking time to be together. Now, you carve out a night of the week.
Yes.
So that you and Karen can have a date and just be together.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life. I've always been a date night guy. And especially when your kids are in activities and it's easy to get caught up in all the stuff that's going on. When I'm doing premarital counseling, I always say protect date night. Spend time with one another for a number of reasons. Number one is truly affirming your wife and saying, look, I value you. I value you enough that I want to carve out a day that I spend time with you.
Touch, because I think that's so important. It's not just what we do. It's the underlying message that's sent with the date. It's I value you.
Yeah, I'm going to carve this time out just for you. Because look, let's face it, kids, job, ministry, that stuff can all rob us of time with our brides. Eldred said in his book, Waken the Dead, I was willing to fight for the damsel. I was willing to slay the dragons. I was willing to compete with other knights to win her hand. Why would I stop after we said I do? Why mm-hmm. would I stop battling? You know, it's almost like I was willing to fight, but I wasn't willing to bleed. It's work. So I have to understand that. And date night is one of those great ways to just really, really say that I really value you and I value us.
Another thing that men need to do is enter into meaningful communication mm-hmm. with their wives. Communication experts tell us there are two types of communication. Women communicate in what's called the rapport style. How's your day? How are you doing? I want to talk about it. Men communicate in what's called the report style, just the facts. So there's a sense that we forget when our wives tell us something about their day, they don't want it fixed necessarily.
Right.
Because we jump right to that. Boom, boom, boom. You should have said that.
Yeah.
Now go do that.
Don't
now tell
fix
them that.
Me.
Got
don't,
that fixed. Now
yeah.
what's next?
Yeah.
Just the aspect of communication.
Right. Yeah. And they want to hear about our day. And it's tough because it takes discipline to come home from work after a hard day and to listen, to be an active listener. Quality time is active listening, and that is huge. Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a book on the love languages, and I went to a marriage conference, and I remember one of the guys that was speaking said, in my house, romance starts in the kitchen. Hmm. He said that my wife's love language is acts of service. So when I clean up the kitchen, man, she just loves me. And I thought that was very, very insightful from a standpoint that he had the insight of his wife, and he talked about the book, Love Languages.
Right.
And I thought, wow, what a great book mm-hmm. to have to help you understand your spouse.
So if a guy thinks that he can come home from work, sit down, read the paper, or check the rest of his email on his iPhone, get up, go eat, go back in, watch some ESPN, and then expect to have satisfying sexual relationship right. that night, he's
missing
not,
a boat.
He's living in la-la land.
That's right, right.
Because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Our wives need us, desire us, mm-hmm. and what a privilege it is for yeah. us to communicate with them, to interact with them, to find out what their love language is. And we want to encourage listeners to go to that website. It's a great website, the number 5lovelanguages.com, 5lovelanguages.com. And there Chapman talks about the words of affirmation. And that would be letting your spouse know how much you love them and care for them, writing a note to them, an email, a letter. Then there are acts of service. You just mentioned that, cleaning up after dinner or doing the things around the house that need to be done. Some receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be expensive gift. Again, it's not the gift. It's the thought behind the
right.
gift. Quality time is another love language. Physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch are the five love languages. We encourage you to go to 5 Love Languages. That's the number 5 Love Languages.com and determine what your love language is and what your spouse love language is so that you can begin to meet the needs in this critical area of life.
Look, when you want to be good at something, you study it.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to do your job well, you study everything there is to know about your job. Why wouldn't we become a student of our wives? Why wouldn't we become students of marriage? And I think that that's what I love about this book. It helps you to understand that a good marriage doesn't happen. It takes work.
Mm-hmm.
It takes preparation. And when we realize as men what God calls us, we need to take advantage of every resource, whether it's a marriage conference, a marriage class. There's so much out there today for us as married couples on how to enrich our marriages. And we just got to take advantage of those opportunities. And husbands got to lead the way.
But let's face it, you see so many guys who will spend a lot of money and spend a lot of time doing a 3-year strategic plan for their business. And they're really working hard getting better at their business. But when it comes to their relationship with their wife, they're not willing to put a lot of time into that. And no. as you said, it takes work so that we can be those who really demonstrate to our wives that we care for them, that we love them, and that we want to serve them
right.
in a significant way. So can't just come and hide your face in a newspaper, get up and eat, go watch television, and then expect to have a satisfying sexual intimacy that night. Nor, if you're involved in pornography, that's going to destroy your physical relationship with your wife.
Pornography is poison for the mind. This beautiful relationship and gift that God has given us, intimacy in our marriage, it will replace that with poison. So talking to guys that have struggled with pornography, getting back to a normal intimate relationship with their wives has been a lot of hard work mm-hmm. and counseling. And I can't stress this enough. Whenever I talk to other guys, anything that is even remotely pornographic or fantasy-like, man, you got to get it out of your life to guard yourself because it'll destroy the way you view your own wife. It'll destroy the way you view intimacy. It'll give you images that you will not be able to get out of your head. It will impact you in a way that will totally corrupt your soul. And now someone's out there going, come on, Tunch. That's pretty severe what you're saying, but you know, I've seen too much of the damage to not call it as I see it.
And so a guy who says, well, you know, I'm just not having sexual satisfaction with my wife, that's true. But you need to evaluate your part of the relationship. Is there anything in your life that it's causing you to be drawn away mm-hmm. from that satisfaction? Pornography, as Tunch just mentioned. Are you doing the things to meet the needs of your wife emotionally? Are you caring for her in that way? And let's face it, there are going to be times when things are to the point where you need to swallow your pride mm-hmm. and go to counseling
oh, yeah.
and get some help. So we're talking to men. You're the leader of your home. If you're not being satisfied sexually, your wife isn't either. Don't think you're the only one losing out on that. Go get some professional Christian counseling so that you can get this thing back on track.
I am an advocate of counseling. I believe this. If you had heart problems, if you had cancer, you wouldn't just sit there and let it run its course. You would go seek a doctor. So go get counseling. A lot of times when there's issues, there's something underlying. And sometimes it's just a matter of getting to the bottom of what it is that is hindering me or hindering my spouse. And believe me, it is more than worth the money. It's not like, oh my gosh, we're going to counseling. A lot of very normal people go to counseling. So I would just say, I have seen guys that have gone to counseling that have come back from destroyed relationships. I have seen guys who have had problems with pornography that have gone to counseling and have come back to become very, very godly husbands. So look, there is great healing in that, and there are great opportunities for spiritual growth, and it doesn't have to stay the way it is. Just leaving it alone is not going to help. And running away from it to either another relationship or pornography is going to destroy it more.
So if there's dissatisfaction in your sexual relationship, then the frustration of that is going to bleed over into a lot of other areas of your marriage. And you can't let that happen. As a man, you have to make sure you deal with these issues. You have to make sure you are taking care of your wives emotionally, and that we are involved in knowing their love language, as Gary Chapman talks about in his book, Five Love Languages. What type of love language do they have, and are we meeting those needs? Are we going on date nights and showing them the value that we place on them as the love of our lives? Are we communicating with them, not just talking to them, but listening and really responding to them in a way that honors God? And then if you need to go get counseling, go get counseling. Again, we want to emphasize, you're the man, you're the leader. God has given you the role of leadership in your home. And you need to be the one who initiates going to get the help you need. As Tunch said, if you have an issue and you don't do anything about the issue remains the issue. And so you have to make sure that you are willing to take the steps you need to have that satisfying sexual relationship. And that's what God wants.
Yeah.
He wants us to be satisfied in our relationship.
It's a gift. It is a tremendous gift. We need to treat it as a gift.
And He wants you to be satisfied with it. He wants you to honor Him with it as you honor each other.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
You know, I think that it's easy to lose perspective of who you are from God's view. And I think that one of the things that we need to be grounded in is the Word and understand that we were chosen by God, that we are made in His image, that we are dearly loved. And God loves us to the point of the cross. So if I view myself as this guy that was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and not as one of God's children and a man that God has great plans for. See, that's where we have to get to really get rid of the insecurities. Getting to a point where you're saying, look, I know God loves me, and I know He hung on a cross for me, and I know that He has great plans for me. So I need to disengage this idea of what man thinks about me and to really focus on what God thinks about me.
So it's not about who you are, really. It's about whose you are.
Yeah, I love that quote.
Well, let's talk about that.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.